Hello and welcome to Sumo Mainichi. My name is Dave. I'm here with Amy and we are here to bring you all the action from day one of Haru Basho taking place in Osaka, Japan. Sumo's back.
Sumo's back, baby. It's all happening. It's March. It's Osaka. We were there last year. We were just reminiscing about it today. It's such a great place for sumo.
No, it's the best place for sumo.
It's probably the best, I have to say, having been to Nagoya, but I'm willing to put it up there on the top of the pedestal.
I feel that's a fairly safe call. Now, we come into this day one. There's been a lot of sumo.
Malaise.
A lot of sumo nonsense.
Yes.
That I don't particularly want to dwell on.
We're in the down times.
We are in the down times.
We have been.
We're in the up times now. We spoke about what's going on at Miyaginobeya in our Talking Sumo episode, a little bit in the Banzuke episode. I don't want to weigh us down with negativity. I want to get into the good stuff, which is this basho.
I think so. I mean, there have been rumours that the stable now is going to close and that the overarching regime that's put in place to look after it is not going to keep going. We will talk about that when it actually happens. And for now, we're going to let the wave of sumo joy, sumo brilliance, the wave of actual sumo carry us forward.
And the good boys who do the sumo.
We're going to reward the ones who are putting in the effort with talk about their actual effort.
Day one, Haru Basho. Mm. Some people express their genius through dance. Some do it through painting, some do it through music. But today, the people who put together this torikumi, the genius was working through this group of people. I have no notes. Mm. It's a perfect day one torikumi.
It's so true. We saw it when we were out. When did it come out? Out maybe on Friday night? Where were we? Oh, we went out for dinner with my dad and we saw the torikumi on the way and we were just like, chef's
Well, the way it happened was I saw you looking at your phone and I saw a single tear roll down your eye and I'm like, are you looking at the torikumi? Okay? And you just nodded and handed me the phone and then I started bawling.
Yeah.
It was an emotional
moment.
We were
on the train.
We were.
On a good old Aussie train on the way to the suburbs.
It was awkward for the people around us, but then I just handed the phone over and they saw the banzuke.
And everyone on the torikumi. They cheered.
There's cheering and crying at the same time.
Cheering and crying at the same time, which is the joy of sumo.
Yes,
it's what happens. You have a couple of 9% strong lemons. You're cheering and crying at the same time. You're calling out Ryuden at the top of your voice and you're committing to sumo. So
before we kick off for today's bounce, so at Sumo Mainichi, we don't do a Patreon. We don't do a regular giving thing, but people are very generous and we've set up a way for people to make a contribution to the podcast to help us with the expenses of doing it as well as maybe chip in for a bottle of sake during the basho. So a few people to thank this time around. Jerry, thank you so much, Jerry, Fiona and Carly.
Yeah, Carly, you left us a message and we love, love, love when people send us messages. You can leave one when you support us on PayPal. And Carly, you said, "Ura for the win. Let's go, hometown boy."
I felt that, Carly.
Deep
brilliant
in my
stuff.
Bones.
Yes.
So Ura from Osaka, he is probably, you'd have to say, the most popular Osaka Rikishi by far. Oh,
I think you could take Osaka out of that, really. Yes,
probably. So big props for Ura there. Carly, Fiona, Jerry, thank you for supporting us. You can support us via PayPal using sumomainichi@gmail.com.
And I think there's also a link, but I don't know where that link is.
I think the link is, I couldn't say for sure.
It's around.
Maybe in our Instagram bio, maybe in our Twitter bio.
We should check.
Yeah.
YouTube as well. Oh, and just before we kick off, a big thank you to the absolute legends who hung out with us while we did our Jurio live stream today. A little bit of chaos with the internet going down halfway through.
Australian internet.
Me kicking over a glass of water.
Oh, yeah.
We had a great time though. Jirio was red hot. If you want to check it out, go to our YouTube channel and you can catch up on all the action today. It was a banger.
Don't speak a lot about Jirio on this podcast anymore, but all of the action is on that YouTube stream. And if you subscribe to the Sumo Manichi YouTube channel, you get a little
notification.
Notification is the word when we go live. So that's day 1, day 8, and day 15 for Jirio. It's been a hot couple of days here.
Yeah, Melbourne is sweltering right now. It was 38 today, which is about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It was the same yesterday and it's going to be the same for the next few days.
We've got the aircon on. We're all right.
Osaka.
Not as hot there.
12 degrees today when Makuuchi kicked off. 12 degrees Celsius, 54 degrees Fahrenheit. Shut up about everything else. Let's get on to the sumo. What a great bout to kick off with.
It was Takeru Fuji. He has reached the ranks, the Maegashira ranks, the Makuuchi division. He's only taken 8. This is his 9th basho.
Unbelievable stuff.
Overall. So from Isagahama, Bea, he is doing so well. And today he came up against Daemami, newly returned to Jirio, in his interview, which everyone gets when you make your Makuuchi debut. He said he's looking to get double digits, so please cheer me on. We did cheer him on today, and he won. He got his right hand outside. He was able to spin Daemami around and push him to the side for a big old first day win.
Oh, congratulations, Takeru Fuji. Is there something a little bit disappointing about, you know, having this amazing, you know, start to your career where you've taken these 8 bashos, you find yourself as a young man in the top division, hair not long enough to go into the full Chomage style, and then you fight Daemami, who is essentially like a Jirio stalwart. Do you know what I mean? You might as well be in Jirio still.
Well, they do have a connection. They both went to Nihon University.
Oh, okay, right.
And so Daemami is actually 31, Takeru Fuji only 24. So I think they're like, Daemami's like his senpai. Yeah, his teacher for a little bit.
I don't think there'd be any crossover.
No crossover. Teacher as in imaginary.
Senior.
A little bit in his mind, I mean.
What a great start for Takeru Fuji. His namesake, Takara Fuji, though, who's back in Jirio, not namesake, he lost today.
He did.
We didn't see it because the internet went out. Okay, so we've got a few Rikishi who are returning from Jirio, some old names, some new friends, some old friends. Roger beat Endo today. Bit sad there for Endo as Roger absolutely rolled him. Kid Nowaka lost to Myogiryu. And Nishiki Fuji lost to a heroic Chirunoumi.
I know you like
strong
that one.
Strong sumo. I do like Chirunoumi.
Yeah, the Roger beating Endo was really cool. He's at his highest rank coming back into Makuuchi. So that was great for him today. Also, Shimizumi. He came up against Ryuden.
Well, this was I was thinking, okay, Ryuden, Shimizumi, I wasn't expecting too much here, but this was an absolute classic bout. Sorted out on the belt, and the early parts of this bout, I'm enjoying seeing Ryuden get on the belt.
Oh, it was much better, wasn't it?
I feel like it's been too long since I've seen him get both hands on the belt and get to work.
He got in close.
Beautiful stuff here. But Shimizumi did not let Ryuden have it all his way. He got his hands on the belt and they basically threw each other at the same time.
They tried once, they came back, then they moved to the edge again and just tried that sort of double butterfly action where they both try to throw at the same time and the elbows went down and you're trying to watch both at the same time, but it was Shimizumi's elbow that touched first. A really, really great bout. So a win, actually, for Ryuden.
Yeah, I thought that Shimizumi might have been in a better position here, but a brilliant start for Ryuden doing his style of sumo,
You can say it. Well, he's back to it, maybe. He got a big scrape on his face as well.
Really, didn't he?
Yeah, this bout was quite brutal.
It was visceral.
It was visceral. That's right. Look, I wasn't meant to say this one, but I do want to just butt in here to say that Shorto, I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I'm say not it. Meant to talk about him because he's too low. We don't need to.
Hey, who's telling you that?
However, on my own
our
internal.
Senior management.
The senior exec. Management and also my own internal voice. But Shorto today did manage to beat Kotoshoho. I thought he looked very strong.
He looked very, very sharp here today.
Thank you.
Loved seeing it.
He Kotoshoho got on the belt, but Shorto was able to break that hold. He got his arms up high. He was standing up as high as he could, right up on his tiptoes, the way he likes it.
What about that short eye, touchy eye as well?
He was pretty
good. You know what I mean?
Good.
Yeah, moving forward.
And when he won, he just did a bit of the old, I'm short, I'm bored, I won this bout, whatever. Of course
I
did.
He feels no highs or lows, this guy. I love it.
Is it too early to call him back? I think it probably is.
It's day one. We're allowed to get ahead of ourselves a little bit.
I mean, it's shorter.
As
give
a
me
treat.
A,
as a treat.
Give me a go.
All right, let's look at this Onosho Tamawashi. There was a bit of a mutter here, and I want to get your opinion on this. Tamawashi stepped forward, gave Onosho a little bit of a bonus push here.
Yeah, I feel like I need to look at their record. Like, is there something
Is there a grudge
here?
Match?
Is this a grudge match? Oh, it's pretty equal, actually. Mm. Yeah, so they were coming into this at seven apiece.
Yeah, right. There was something behind that push.
I wondered, actually, because Tamawashi, you don't always see him emotional.
No.
Especially at a mutter. But
so
he
stoic.
Really did come forward and give him one.
Trying to assert his dominance early. He knows Onosho's in form.
Yeah.
Tamawashi, 39.
Yep.
Turning 40 in November. Onosho coming in off that 10 and 5 in January. Yes, there were two for Sencho, but you've got to be on the dojo to get it. And he did that twice out of those 10. That's fine. When this bout got off, oh boy, Onosho's touchy eye was red hot. He hit Tamawashi hard and then continued forward. Now, of course, the body, the upper body came forward. Do you know what was underneath him?
Mm.
His feet.
Tiny little legs.
Tiny little legs under the upper body. And he overpowered Tamawashi, sent him over the Tuara off the dojo. This is the Onosho sumo I love.
It was surprising. I mean, to move Tamawashi back that easily, in inverted commas, it was quick.
Yeah, it was beautiful sumo.
I think he took him by surprise the second time. Maybe Tamawashi did feel like he did exert that dominance and then he's like, I'll go for it now, thank you very much. And Onosho was just like, no, I'll take it.
Yeah, just beautiful timing from Onosho. So a great way for him to kick off Haru.
Love it. Kimbozan up against Gonoyama. We saw Gonoyama just pretty much fail miserably in January, and we're really keen to see how he can recover from here. As usual, he came out with everything. Just all parts of his body are moving at all times. But he got really, I would say he got tangled up in Kimbozan's arms. Kimbozan was really stable. He sort of enveloped Gonoyama in a way, and Gonoyama was thrust down.
Gonoyama is suffering from what I can only describe as a severe run of bad luck. He's not fighting badly. He didn't fight badly in January. He just collected a lot of black dots.
I think there's a point where you've got to translate luck into
this is what I am.
Talent. Not talent. I don't mean talent overall. I mean, what I mean, skill at the time. What's it called? Form. His form isn't good at the moment.
I think... Yeah, well, it's either he's in bad form or he's out of form, or he's in good form and has just been extremely
What's
unlucky.
What's the luck? Like some kind of luck demon or
well, it's
luck
just kind of, well,
dragon?
Well, I think when we say luck, it's just he's, you know, when you flip a coin, he's statistically just, it's coming up on the wrong side.
I have
for
been
him.
Playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, so you
You've
know,
been seeing
rolls.
Me
yeah, yeah.
play that. Mm. I mean, maybe his... strength and dexterity roles are not coming up.
Yeah, I do feel that there's an element. He puts himself in the right place at the right time and then just something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, that's what form is being not being unlucky day after day.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Well, taking those split-second moments and turning them to your advantage. And he couldn't do that today against Kim Borzan, who did look – wide is not the right word. He was just kind of everywhere. Yeah, he was just there doing the business that he needed to shut Gunoyama down.
Stronger and faster today, Kim Borzan. He looked very, very impressive. Before we move on to Sanyaku, let's have a look at this Ono Sato and Tsurugisho bout. Both of these Rikishi at different ends of their career, you'd have to say. Mm. Ono Sato, young and on the way up. Tsurugisho, a little bit older, not on the way out, fighting at his highest rank of Maegashira 6, Ono Sato at Maegashira 5. Of course, that's his highest rank. Tsurugisho is a hard Rikishi to move.
Yes, he's huge.
And we've spoken about this, I think, in the Banzuke episode, but even when he's injured, he is a formidable opponent. So strong, so hard to move. But today, out of the touchy eye, Ono Sato did exactly that. Moved in close, slipped in to Tsurugisho's personal space, positioned himself off to the side, then leaned in and took Tsurugisho over the bales.
Yeah, and I think it looked easy, but I don't think it was because of what we said before, that Tsurugisho can provide a wall of strength and be very unmovable, and Ono Sato just made it look kind of easy to move him out of the way.
It's probably a good gambit from Ono Sato is to try to win this one quickly. Mm. Although that said, I mean, Ono Sato probably could have taken it to him if it had slowed down and gone on the belt.
Yeah, possibly. A great win for Ono Sato as you say, his highest rank of Maegashira 5.
Crazy.
Great to start off with a win. We move now into the Sanyaku, and we had Oho at Maegashira 3. Has he been overpromoted? Time will tell.
Who's asking that question?
Well, probably no one.
The people.
Maybe everyone. He came up today against Wakamoto Haru, and I thought it was a tiny bit of a shaky start for Wakamoto Haru. He backed off, but it proved to be a good move.
Well, I think so. I think he respected the Oho tachi-ai, which was perfectly timed. And I think Wakamoto Haru was forced to give some space here early.
And one thing we've seen time and time again is that he is so good at steadying.
Wakamoto Haru?
Yes.
Yeah.
Resetting and coming back. And we saw it today. It was a very Wakamoto Haru move where he activated those muscles, he powered forward and was able to almost basketball dunk out Oho at the end.
He took Oho right to the Tawara and then just gave a single-handed push.
Just a little pop.
Just the minimum amount of force required to make sure that Oho stepped over the Tawara. It was beautiful.
And we saw some facial expressions. Like, Oho looked disappointed here. I think he might have fancied himself a little bit.
I quite liked Oho's approach to this one. He wasn't waiting around to see what was going to happen. He as much as he could, tried to take control early on. But when you see Wakamoto Haru moving like this, it's like he's watching the sumo very carefully. It was like he was moving in slow motion as he responded to the Oho tachi-ai here. Wakamoto Haru back at Sekiwake. The world feels right.
Yep.
So good. Okay, we had Sekiwake Daisho up against Maegashira 2 Meisei.
And this is one of my favourite matchups of all time. I don't know why, because Daisho has such an advantage in the head-to-head, but every time I see it programmed, I loved it.
Coming in to this one, 15-4 Daisho's way. So Meisei really hasn't got many wins against Daisho, but something about when Meisei sumo is on, he can match it with the Sekiwake. And today he did that. Meisei chose chaos.
Yes,
he came out of the touchy eye fast, hard. Daisho here, I mean, so good. Stood strong in the middle, thrust out just to keep Meisei from coming in. But Meisei countered, moved himself around to the side, out of the line of fire. He knew that if Daisho got going and he was standing in front of it, he would be in big trouble. But Meisei continued to circle around, created some space. Now here, it's like he laid a little bit of cheese in the mousetrap because Daisho saw that space, charged at Meisei. Meisei calmly steps aside and slaps Daisho down. This felt pretty good.
It was lovely. It was like when you're playing with a cat and you've got the little cat toy and just whip it out at that last possible opportunity. He calculated that space between them and it was perfection.
Sublime sumo from Meisei. Just going from the chaos at the start flips into this mode of control and calmness.
And it's how he has upset Yokozuna, Ozeki, Sekiwake. You know, he really can disrupt.
He's just a great Rikishi to have around. You never quite know what you're going to get with Meisei.
Yeah.
But Meisei today at Maegashira 2 hands Sekiwake Daisho a loss on day one and takes the record between them to 15 and 5.
Yeah, good job.
Good on you, Meisei.
Atami Fuji at Maegashira 2 came up against the Shinoseki Kodonowaka. Kodonowaka did his whole routine. He's got the real stare going. He's somehow learnt to, he's had some lessons or something as to how to activate his eyebrows because they are independent movers now. He just does a great stare.
What do you call that? Is it like sumo or Ozeki finishing school?
Yeah.
Or I think there's a term for it.
You get a couple of sessions with a elocution.
Elocution? Is that right?
Well, that's when you learn how to use your knife and fork.
Yeah, yeah, like that, but for Ozeki.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, elocution. Ozeki elocution school. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, how would you like to express your personality? Yeah. And he's like, entirely in my eyebrows.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to spend 2 days just on that. Yeah. But, I mean, he has the air of greatness, doesn't he, Kodonowaka?
He does. He does, and he just looks so... I guess it's something that has played into him being a little bit under the radar so far because he looks so set and serious and like he should be there, that now that he's arrived, you're just like, oh, of course he's always been here.
And it was quite a contrast seeing Kodonowaka go through his preparations, very deliberate, very economical, versus his opponent today, Atami Fuji, whose pre-bout ritual has just become a string of completely random motions.
That's right. Atami Fuji, if he ever gets to Ozeki, he'll have to have it stripped down, I think, because he'll be like, and then I do the leg, and then I do the this and that, and then I play with my fingers. And his right arm, his right bicep, Atami Fuji, is very heavily taped up, so much so that the tape is wrapped around and around and around so that flesh is kind of popping out both sides.
It does look a little bit tight.
Yeah.
And I need to go back and check the tapes because some of... The tape on his arm looks familiar.
Mm, check the tapes for the tape.
Has he changed the tape since January? I know there's some new tape on top.
If he hasn't, there's some unpleasant stuff underneath. Yeah. It's like when you open a Band-Aid after a while. So Atami Fuji, he wanted to take it to Kodonowaka, but he was not able to. He went early at the touch-yard. He went low, put himself in a bad position and got slapped down immediately by the Ozeki.
Yeah, Atami Fuji continues that form we saw in January today on day one by throwing himself and trying to be competitive against the Sanyaku by just raw power and speed with not really a plan B in place. And as you said, Kodonowaka handled this very, very easily today. I think this kind of sumo might work against non-Sanyaku, but it feels like the Rikishi up here is so good at the moment. I just don't think he's quite big enough or fast enough yet.
Yeah.
He needs some form behind it, I think.
Yeah. And we've seen him do so well, but this genuinely has been the time where he's sort of now actually learning and trying to develop his technique.
I think he should be not concerned with beating Sanyaku. Mm. I think he should be concerned with being competitive. Mm. Like January was a write-off because he just seemed to go out for cheap wins.
Mm. Yeah, well, it certainly didn't work today.
And it did not.
There was no nothing offered by him today.
Up next, Ozeki Takakesho up against ex-Ozeki Asunayama, who's coming into this bout today on Maegashira 1. I felt the hype.
Yeah, me too, actually, because there's been so much talk about Takakesho and how is he and we haven't seen him.
Yep.
Everybody else has been quite a bit of talk about. There's just been a little bit like, oh, his neck's still no good, but he's going to front up, he's going to be all right. Just the usual Takakesho talk, really, but in contrast to a lot of the other talk, it's worrying.
It certainly is, and Takakesho, we know him as the Katabun master, and he's coming into this basho again, Katabun, needing 8 wins to retain that Ozeki status. So much riding on this. You really felt the crowd lift in anticipation for this one. The way this played out, though, was quite interesting. Takakesho attacked head down.
Yeah.
Which, well, wasn't
he
there?
He should be looking.
It was interesting that he seemed to make a decision early that his high thrusting attacks weren't going to work against Asaneyama.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's just that's a sign of respect of what Asaneyama might be able to do.
Or that the injury and everything that's happening to him that's bad in the neck area is coming from the high, or either A is coming from the high thrusting attacks, or he can't do the high thrusting attacks because now of the injury.
Okay. If it's a neck problem, throwing your head down is probably the worst thing you could do for it, isn't it? Maybe this is a sign of he's sending a message to the sumo community going, the neck's fine.
Yeah.
I'm dropping my head against Asaneyama. Anyway.
Sakakaisha, you can never
You can tell. Never quite tell. Asaneyama stood him up very quickly here, though. And I thought, interesting. Asaneyama closed in, really gave Takakesho no space to work with, couldn't really throw out any attacks. And you saw Takakesho here. It was almost like he was doing a few probing attacks, not in the sense to move Asaneyama back or hit him hard. It was almost like he was just testing the water a little bit. Then we saw Takakesho do what he does so well. Slaps down a first Asaneyama attack.
Mm.
Not going for too much. And I think this is how Takakesho wins doing this. It's a very responsible amount of slapping down.
Yeah.
Attack.
Yeah. Just a small.
Small.
Small little slap.
A little bit. And that just threw Asaneyama off balance a little. And here Takakesho saw his opportunity, committed, stepped aside, slapped down hard. Asaneyama went down.
I don't really know what Asaneyama was doing here. I don't know how he let himself be slapped out.
Fighting Takakesho is probably very difficult.
I think so. I think it's psychological as well as physical.
I think Takakesho, people don't give him enough credit for being very smart at sumo.
Mm.
And when it's – he can take something that should be a power match – or it's going to be decided by strength or power and just turn it like you did today.
I feel like we often spend a long time on a Takakesho bout, maybe more than you would think you should, but it's it's because it is this kind of psychological back and forth.
Yeah, like, totally.
Every bout of his, for me, is something new and different, and the way that he applies himself and the way that he gets out of situations. I don't know. To me, it's fascinating to come up on day one against Asaneyama.
I know.
You've known for 2 days that you've got to fight this guy. This guy is coming back. He's had a couple of injuries. He's fiercely wanting to get back to the highest position he can, to get to Yokozuna, you know. And you're Katabun.
Exactly.
And you still face up there and somehow jag a win.
And you drop your head.
Yeah,
at the touchy eye. It's funny because we've spoken about this before, but Takakesho famously says he trains hard. He trains his body hard so that when the bout starts, his mind leaves and the body just takes over from the training.
Yeah, it often works.
But it's funny when we talk about his bouts, you have to try to interpret not what his body does, it's what his brain has done in the month's training. Yeah. Oh, it's very, very hard to interpret.
I find Takakesho fascinating.
Oh, he's absolutely fascinating. And what a great way for him to open Haru. A win against Asaneyama. Only 7 more. As you said after the bout, only 7 more.
Come on, mate. You can do it. We know you can. Ura, the Osaka champion. The Osaka hero.
The hero of Osaka.
Game up next against Hoshoryu. This was a bit of a weird one because as they were calling for it to go, the sweepers were still sweeping.
This was bizarre.
I haven't seen this for a long time. Like sometimes they get their routine out a bit, but there were 2 Yobidashi still sweeping.
And not in any great
when he goes,
hurry.
Matanash, like he's about to go. They're literally about to go down.
Yeah, no big rush there.
I think they got their TVs ready. Anyway, doesn't matter. Ura, he went low. He took the Hoshoryu charge on his shoulders.
I was about to say we should have said Ura's opponent, but you just did.
Hoshoryu. It's Hoshoryu. Did I just not even say that?
Didn't talk about
so
it.
So much focusing on Ura. From someone who hasn't focused a lot on Ura, I am now fully committed to Ura.
Yep.
So against Hoshoryu, he took the charge of the Hoshoryu Tachiai, but he was able to keep his hips back, Ura, and used all the possible angles, just moved his body around, just fiddling with Hoshori's charge, placed a hand on the back of Hoshori's head, and without Hoshori having much say in the matter, was able to thrust him down.
This was extraordinary sumo from Ura. I think the thing that really interested me is watching the replay was that at no point did Hoshoryu get even half a look at the belt.
Yeah.
Because Ura was
because
so...
Because of the angles. The angles, hip angle.
The destabilization, the disruption of Hoshoryu's style. Brilliant sumo from Ura today. I was so impressed.
Me too. And I should say it was actually, I said a thrust down, but it was a kata tsukashi. Mm. So he kind of got one hand, I forget which hand was which now, but one hand was around the back of the head of Hoshori and the other one must have been around the shoulder. That must have been what made the kata tsukashi call.
Yeah.
But it happened so quickly and Hoshori, I feel like he was taken by surprise. And on day one, it's not good for that to happen.
Not when you're Ozeki.
Not when both of us have predicted you to win the Yusho.
Have we cursed him?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe
the
we
double
have.
Curse. Maybe whenever both of us predict a one person.
Damn it.
They get a curse.
All right. The second last bout, Ozeki Kirishima versus Komisubi Abi. This was an interesting bout.
It was
over very, very quickly. Abi came out, arms outstretched. Okay, this is what happens
normal,
with Abi.
Normal.
He hit Kirishima high. Okay.
Normal.
But then he just pulled Kirishima down to the dirt. There was no sumo from Kirishima today.
So Kirishima, did he not come forward enough? Because he was at that precise point where Abi's outstretched arms were. He didn't move to the side. He didn't move forward. He didn't duck under.
Yeah, maybe.
He was just there in this perfect. Abi probably couldn't believe it. He's just like, I'm going to go for this. Hail Mary.
Well, exactly.
This he's was right there.
Like, and in terms of that push then pull, this is textbook. This was perfect.
Yeah.
Kirishima, I mean, you know what Abi's going to do, right?
Yeah.
You know where the attack's going to come from. Well, it's either the attack or the henka, but you know where it's coming from.
Yep. A classic hikiotoshi.
Yeah.
The hand pull down from Abi. So that is two Ozeki down in a row, Kirishima and Hoshoryu. Taka Keisho and Kodnawaka have upheld the honour of the Ozeki so far. So we just have one more bout to talk about, and that is Terunofuji v. Komisubi for the second time in his career, Nishikigi. And he was able to beat Terunofuji in July last year. We have called him the King Slayer or the Giant Slayer at times in his career.
I've never called him that.
Last year, you don't like it.
No, I call him Nishikigi.
Yeah, that's his name. But, I mean, maybe you'll need to change that because Nishikigi today, he came out powering. The first thing he did was that he locked up Terunofuji's right arm. I thought that was clever because Terunofuji goes straight out for a belt hold. And so to clamp down there at least disrupts that in some way.
Well, I feel like at best at this point he was buying himself some time.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, okay, well done. Like, good job,
you've
Nishikigi.
Slowed down this
loss.
Oh,
good job. Yep. Nice work. You know, you've given it a go. But then as Terunofuji recovered and powered back, Nishikigi was able to get both hands of his own on Terunofuji's belt.
But this was a response.
Yeah.
Because Terunofuji got both of his hands on Nishikigi. So at that point, I'm like, oh, well.
Oh, well.
Nice try.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nishikigi, as you said, got both hands on the belt. And I thought, okay, probably not worth worrying about. But then something happened.
Yeah, he anchored on the bales. He pushed back. He just went really strong. And he was the one who was able to dominate from there and push Terunofuji back and over the bales. It was a win.
So, I mean, just the fact he could move him across the dojo that easily was incredible. Nishikigi had to drop the belt grip in the end.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, okay, good try.
I know, this is our third good try.
Yeah,
we've gone arm lockdown, good try.
You had some good times.
We've gone double-handed belt grip. Like,
nice one.
Such a good... Like on day six, we're going to be saying, oh, Nishikigi got the closest to beating Terunofuji.
Yeah.
Then this time, oh, he's taken him back a bit. Yeah. Nishikigi's come the closest, etc.
But he dropped the belt grip and then just committed the body, turned himself sideways, almost hip and shouldered Terunofuji out. I mean, this was unbelievable, Sumo.
Almost hip and shouldered him out. He did.
Well, yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
He got it.
This was, it was perfect Sumo from Nishikigi here.
It's not a Kimboshi because he's Komusubi, but it's a Kimboshi in our heart.
Yeah.
I feel like Sumo DB should put that as it, like Kimboshi in brackets.
Well,
no, it was absolutely huge.
It should, because he was Maegashira 5 in January. Yeah. He should not be Komusubi. Yeah, that's
right. But he's honorary Komusubi only.
But he's just like fine wine, this guy. Like,
oh, Nishikigi.
He just was so good today. And I said to you after the bout, this wasn't one of those wins against Terunofuji where something lucky happened or he caught Terunofuji off guard. Mm. This was just strong belt sumo from Nishikigi against someone who won a Yusho doing that last time.
I wonder what the flavour around the world was, whether there were a lot of people screaming in their living rooms about this one, because there were two people in Melbourne, Australia who were.
This was quite amazing.
As Nishikigi walked out, Chiyona Kuni was.
he gave it. They had a little
moment.
In
the corridor, in the Hanamichi.
Yep.
They had a little giggle together.
Yeah.
He was just like, good job, mate.
Beautiful moment. Absolutely, I am not counting Terunofuji out of this.
Oh, no.
You know, I think this was a bit of a, maybe a wake-up call.
Mm.
You can't take Nishikigi easily.
Well, we'll see who he has tomorrow in a second.
Well, maybe we should jump into that.
Leaderboard?
Right now.
It's half of them.
Well, let's do the people on one win and zero wins.
Yeah, we'll do all of them. Well, the Ozeki that won were Takakesho and Kodnowaka.
Yep.
Then Wakamoto Haru, Sekiwake and Abi and Nishikigi. So quite a good representation from the
side. All right. Well, maybe we'll just have a look up. there's some good bouts tomorrow. Oho takes on Daisho. Wakamoto Haru takes on Meisei. They've met six times before. Meisei has not made a dint.
Oh.
On that, that's 0-6 Wakamoto Haru's way. Kirishima takes on Atami Fuji. Okay. Asanayama takes on Kodnowaka.
Ooh, I
mean,
like that.
Toriku, these guys are going hard.
Yeah, they're quite.
They're going, let's get the good bouts early.
Yeah.
Let's get people excited.
Yeah.
Takakesho Abi.
Oh.
Now, Abi has a better record than Takakesho. It's 5-2.
And
I think one
recently,
of those was a Fusen show. But I think, yeah, it's been all Takakesho.
Okay.
Huh. Something looks weird with that. I think that stat might be a little bit wrong.
Well, the last three have been Takakesho.
Yeah, true. No, I think 2-5 is completely wrong if you click into that. Oh, anyway, yeah. Nishikigi takes on Hoshoryu.
Ah.
Now, this is a 4-3. Nishikigi's way. Nishikigi has won their last four meetings.
Wow.
In March, July, September, and November in 2023.
Wow.
What is with this guy?
I love that with Hoshoryu backing up after a loss.
I know. And we finish day two with Terunofuji up against Ura.
Massive.
I mean, massive.
Day two is going to be just as much of a cracker as day one was. Sumo is back. Thank goodness. We waited for a long time, but we've been rewarded, and Haru Basho is here to stay. We will see you for all the other days of the Basho, and thank you for joining us on day one.
Bye.
Bye.